The New Patriot believes with all their heart that their ideologies will help all people. However, patriots refrain from personal ridicule, demonization, and otherwise belittling their ideological opponents. Instead, they proceed down a scarcely trodden path of civil discourse, respectful debate, and personal befriending of the ideological counterparts. If one is so impassioned that they seek to enter the realm of civil discourse to test and defend their values, then they are worthy of your honest association, regardless of any ideological disparities. The New Patriot understands that publicly degrading others will never yield more freedom, and privately degrading them will never yield more personal power to influence. These types of fruitless interactions only serve to harden our heads and our hearts, while softening and even invalidating the hard-fought production of others in the Liberty Movement.
This is Live Free and Grow, a podcast from the Remso Republic with your host, Jason Carrier.
Welcome to Live Free and Grow. My name is Jason Carrier, and I'll be your host. Today's guest will be Remso Martinez of the Remso Republic. Remso, are you there?
Jason, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much.
Finally at that infamous, famous, historic first episode.
Well, we're trying to knock them out. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting, though, because when I moved out to the farm and I started listening to homesteading podcasts, I realized that most homesteaders are actually in the Liberty Movement, even if they're not in the Libertarian Party, or they're not activists, or they just want to be left alone. They're trying to fend for themselves. They want to educate their children as they see fit and not as the government mandates. And it's been really interesting talking to some of these people and just how much they can do. Some have massive spaces, some have little spaces. But yeah, one guy I talked to, Stacy of the So Edible podcast, is feeding 9 people and his neighbors on a quarter of an acre garden.
And it's just holy crap.
I know, right? And they're producing 100% of their own food. So, and I tell my children, I said, look, the closest the government is ever going to let you get to printing your own money is growing your own food. So most Americans spend about 20% of their income just on groceries. And the fact that you can get that back with a little bit of effort is pretty cool. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree, and it's one of the reasons I have so much respect for hippies. You know, those dirty beatniks were onto something when they're like, I want to grow my own stuff, I want to make my own things, because, you know, we often make fun of them because they're like, oh, their hair's long, they smell, you know, they're smoking the reefer and stuff, but, I mean, there's a thing. You're only as dependent as, you know, typically not the government lets you be, but how dependent you allow yourself to live. When was the last time we actually took an inventory of what's in our our cupboards and said, do I have enough food to last next week? Do I know what's going to happen in case, you know, maybe the electricity goes out for an extended amount of time? What if a hurricane hits? What if, you know, we hit hyperinflation? Do I know how to grow anything? I mean, I think a lot of libertarians, they go after the government. They're like, oh, the government won't let me. They won't let me. This, I can't do this. I've got to pay for that. And that is a significant problem. I'm not going to downside that. But often I think we allow ourselves to become way too comfortable. And that's why we live in such an interdependent society. I mean, think how many people would die overnight if Walmart stocking their shelves and the power went out and instantly there was nothing there. People would freak out. A lot of people would just, you know, Darwinism to the nth degree. They just die immediately.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. FEMA even says that almost every major city in America is a food desert. So if for whatever reason we run out of, you know, fuel or the roads go down and we can't get things, every major city in America is out of food in 3 days. And think about that. That's 72 hours before you're hungry. And most homes don't stock any water.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you up front, Jason, the moment, like, you know, we hear the zombie apocalypse, I'm going to have to be a vegetarian. Not because I want to, but because I just, you know, I don't know how to hunt. I'll be the first to admit, I've never hunted anything. You know, I look at a cow and the first thing I want to do is, you know, go get a glass of milk or something, but I'm probably the last person to ever teach anyone how to milk a cow. And if I want a steak, well, you know, I'm just going to have to dream of it because I'm not going to be able to kill one because I'm just not the type of person I am. So, you know, call me a sellout to a degree like that. But I mean, that's how a lot of people are. I think we've really lobotomized what it means to be a rugged individualist. We look at, you know, people that want to go out and be homesteaders, and the biggest thing we get are those dudes on National Geographic and Discovery who, you know, they can't even take care of themselves half the time. So then the whole thing looks like a sham, and then it's like, oh, well, if these people who were paid to do a TV show can't survive, what luck is there for me?
Yep. And you know, and that's just not the case of the movement. You know, I do think that the TV shows are really painting a bad picture of homesteaders and preppers. I mean, they're getting the craziest looking people. They're Abercrombie and Fitch models, and they can't even move an axe. So, I mean, and when you actually talk to these people who are doing it, who are living off grid, they have dishwashers, they have cable, they have satellite, but all that, you know, they generate their own power, they're capturing their own water, they're composting their own waste, and they're growing their own food. And all, you know, and it's positively amazing. They're not backwoods hill people, right? They are functioning members of society. Many have master's degrees, and then this is, I agree with you with the hippie thing. I think there's an intersection that the liberty movement is missing with dismissing hippies. So a lot of the hippies have, you know, have these skills, they want to help give back to the earth, and they just don't realize that the government's holding them back.
It's really funny you bring that up, especially in that way, because I know that Bernie Sanders was talking to Josh Fox. He's a big, you know, green environmentalist, commie liberal from Hollywood, and him and Bernie were talking about the fact that, you know, in the state of Florida, you've got to pay, like, you know, an arm and a leg to put up a solar panel, but on top of that, you have to pay an annual license just to go out and homestead. And apparently there are a bunch of liberals that are afraid of Trump's America and they want to go live off the grid, and it's like, wow, where were you people the last 10, 20 years, and now you want to get off the grid. Now you're afraid of government getting in the way of that. I mean, that intersection is there. I don't see anyone taking advantage of it.
Yep. And, you know, that's some of the outreach I'm doing, because I will tell you, some of the interviews I have, they're not libertarians. And, you know, that's okay. They have skills that we can all learn. And it's funny.
Everyone wants to be free to an extent. Yep. Everyone does.
So, and once you start talking about that common ground, they're like, yeah, I these regulations are holding me back. Now, the brewer, one of the brewers I interviewed, she was like, yeah, we can't make moonshine or whiskey or bourbon or anything like that. And it's perfectly safe if you follow the recipes that are out there that people have done for thousands of years. But the government says, no, you can't do that. It's too dangerous. Which is funny, is I thought we did away with prohibition, but I guess not really. We have prohibition light.
So. Nah. It's all an illusion of control. I don't remember what TV show I was watching, but it was about this teacher in a classroom, and she was like, you know that power is an illusion, and even though I'm the authority figure in here, if there are like 20 of you, if you all teamed up, you could take me out pretty fast. Yep. And I mean, we get that every day. And I can't tell you the number of people I see online. I mean, social media is like a brothel of confusion and fraud, because especially when it comes to libertarians, everyone wants to out-troll each other to an extent. There's this bloke out here in Northern Virginia, and his biggest thing is, I'm a mix of Dwight Schrute from The Office and Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation. And it's like, bro, be yourself, because I highly doubt that you're growing beets on a farm and you're making your own canoe. I can't even kill a cow or hunt, and at least I'm going to admit that, and I'm not going to go ahead and pull out the libertarian measuring contest, because honestly, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I'd probably make it about a week. I've got enough guns and bottled water to make a good, decent plan. But I mean, it comes down to this, Jason. I don't want to take over your show, but I am just kind of curious. When it came to your life with your family, when was the moment where you were basically like, I need to become more independent, and I need to make sure that my family can ultimately take care of ourselves?
You know, it's funny, is because I grew up working on farms, right? And working on farms, doing construction with my dad. And then, you know, and I joined the Marines, and I was traveling around. And it's funny how much you lose. Like, you know, this, you're in the reserve, so, you know, you're drilling, you're PTing, you're doing it. But someone's cooking for me. I'm doing my own laundry. I'm doing my own sewing and things like that. But I'm not really taking care of myself, right? And then when I got married, you know, I took over some of the cooking. My wife could cooking. Our girls grew up. And like a lot of people, we moved to the suburbs. And I got out, and I was like, oh, I think I want to start a garden. And I killed everything. Like, and I was like, what the hell? I have a black thumb. I should not be allowed to touch a plant. And then, you know, my daughter started riding horses, and we were going back into it. We moved out to the farm, and I have all this land, and I have the ability to be self-sufficient. And at the time, I thought you needed a lot of land to do that. And what I'm discovering is there are people making $100,000 a year on a tenth of an acre in the suburbs. And they're growing vertically. They're raising rabbits and quail. They're selling chicken eggs. They're doing, you know, and they're managing to take care of themselves to actually produce enough income to live a good, high quality life in the suburbs on a postage stamp. And it's those skills that impressed me so much to go further. Like, so last year, I think I grew about 10% of our food. This year, I'm close to about 30. I stocked our pond for fishing because I like the fish. I'm not a big hunter. You know, I'll shoot a rabbit and clean a rabbit just because, you know, they eat my garden. But I'll kill a hawk in a heartbeat because they eat my chickens. But it's not my thing. You know, I have friends who are like, hey, you got 30 acres. Why don't you come let me hunt on your property? It's like, dude, I got horses. I got chickens. I got kids out here. My deer can run around and be happy. You know, so it's not my thing, but it's something that I wanted to be able to sit there and say, here's how I take care of my family. In the event this happens, here's where we get water. Here's where we get food. And what I'm really getting into right now, because, you know, all the gardens coming in, is preserving, canning, pickling, fermenting. That's just cool. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put my root cellar, because 100 years ago, people didn't run down to Walmart. We didn't have cars, right? You went out to the root cellar and you had 6 months worth of food, and that's true security, right? If you're not afraid of being hungry or thirsty, you know what? I don't need a government check.
Exactly. And I mean, that's one thing I love about living in Virginia. It's that there's so much history around here. And one of my favorite places is Mount Vernon. And what you learn when you go to Mount Vernon is Martha Washington, who was really the caretaker of the home, even after George came back from being president, but she was ordering food a year out. The Washingtons were almost entirely independent. The reason why they had to order so much food was because they allowed every Tom, Dick, and Harry to come to Mount Vernon and stay for as long as they wanted. It got to the point where even George Washington was like, I didn't know that we were operating an inn for free. But, I mean, that's the great thing that I'm hearing from you. And it really shows that you don't have to go off the grid and live, you know, naked and afraid in order to be an independent person. I think with America, you know, I talk about fake news a lot and people exaggerating what's going on. And I think when we think of homesteading and everything else, we think of it in an extreme sense. And what your family and you were doing is not something that has been extremely, extremely difficult. It just took a lot of commitment to do.
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I both still work, and then, you know, and our life does change. So we used to come home, I'd drive back from D.C. working on the computer, and she'd get back from the hospital and we'd watch TV. Now we get home and, you know, we're tending to the horses, we got to feed the chickens, we got to make sure the pig has water, we got to, you know, we water the garden, we plant some trees. It's a different lifestyle. And yeah, okay, so I miss out on, I'm not missing out on The Walking Dead, by God, that is a great show. But I am missing out on crap TV that I don't need to see The Bachelor or America's Got Talent or any of those things. I'm perfectly okay with my life, you know, taking care of the farm and my wife and I sitting out having a glass of wine by the fire after a hard night's work. And it's very relaxing. And then, you know, and then there's the fitness aspect. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, I put on 30 pounds like in a month, right? Because I just wasn't PTing like I used to. Well, being on a farm, you move a lot. So I like that. It's not, you don't have to be all in. And one of the great stories I heard from one of the interviews is she's a prepper. She's not a homesteader, but she got laid off for 6 months and they were able to survive off their savings for their mortgage and the food stocks that they had put up. That's pretty impressive.
I can't say I'd be able to do the same at that point. I mean, heck, even after I graduated from school, the first thing I did was I looked at mom and dad and I was like, hey, you mind if I turn the basement into a full-time podcasting studio and be here for about, I don't know, maybe through Christmas and New Year's? But yeah, I mean, let's cut to brass tacks. Jason, this is your brand new show, man. You know, what was one of the reasons why you wanted to do this? Because you've got so much going on. I mean, what brought you to this point? I know what brought you to this point, but for those of those that are listening, you know, what was kind of your push, man?
Well, actually, I think it's working with you. You know, doing the interview with you during the campaign. And then you said, hey, look, you know, I said, Remzo, are you tapping into these people who are living liberty? And you said, yeah, we're trying to get a show together. We need a host. And I thought, well, hell, I can do that. I got a face for radio, so I'll be great.
There you go, folks. I just needed my ego stroked. But, you know, what do we kind of have down the line? Because the great thing that, you know, I would not. I'm a very, you know, like lone wolf type of person. I don't usually branch out, but folks, you know, the reason why we're producing Jason's show is because he's just got such a knack for this. And I'm going to let you know up front, this is the first time I'm hearing a lot of this information because I gave him what he needed and I was like, Jason, go. And he's been, you know, I'm just been getting little hints and stuff from there from producer Ryan. But Jason, what do you have coming up during your first season, man?
So actually, yeah, I laid out a whole plan. And the idea was we're going to work back from the most basic skills that are needed to the most advanced. So the first thing people need to learn to do is cooking, right? Cooking is essential. If you can,
I could boil a mean pot of water.
Yeah. So that's a problem. If you're going to the grocery store and everything you buy comes in a box, in the event of power grid cyber attack, you know, the old joke of the zombie apocalypse, you know, and, which I don't think is going to happen, although Anifta comes really close, but you know, or mobs and riots in the streets, you know, you have to be able to cook for yourself. And oddly enough, how I learned to cook, you know, my dad was a big believer in, you know, every man should be able to make breakfast. And I was like, well, Dad, why? He goes, that's because when you slap them on the ass and you send them home, they have a full belly. But which I took to the grave, sir. but he was like, every man should know how to do these things. And then a few years ago, we got Blue Apron and the food services. So $10 a meal for everybody in the family. And then you start chopping and dicing. And you actually become a really good cook. Once I realized I no longer needed the recipes and the guidance, we got rid of the service. And then I started planting in my garden things that I would need for the recipes because you get to keep them. And that's just one of the services. There's HelloFresh. There's all the others. But so cooking's the first skill I think people need to know. Then comes gardening, right? Because if you think you can throw a pack of seeds in the ground and you're going to have a luscious garden to take care of your entire family, you are delusional. Gardening is a skill, and I'll say it's a skill like marksmanship. You have to work at it, and then you also, when you miss, you just have to let it go. When a plant dies, just take it, right? Then we get to brewing because, you know, I don't know about you.
Oh, now you're speaking my love language right there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to live in a world without alcohol.
Because that's not living at that point. That's just waiting to die.
Exactly. So we cover things from brewing your own soda to making mead. So and then since I mentioned mead, you know, we have bees here on the farm. We got an interview with some beekeepers to talk about how to keep bees in an urban environment, how to make honey, beard wax, all those products. We're going to talk some chickens. I have a really good guy coming on called David the Good, who is a master gardener and a composter. And we're going to do two episodes with him to teach people how to grow and how to compost. So I'm excited with the season. By the time you're done, you should at least know what it takes to live a free lifestyle as much as possible, or self-sufficient lifestyle. And then move forward and then find other resources, because I don't know if you Remzo, elaborate on this, but I don't know if you notice this trend. Wealthy people are leaving the cities. Smart people, IT people are leaving the cities. They're all moving out to little farmlets to get as far away from the riots and the violence that I see happening.
Well, that's because the zombie apocalypse is coming, Jason.
It could be. It could be a Walking Dead.
Every day I wake up, and I, to a degree, I feel like we're in the American Twilight Zone, and like that could happen. Like if someone told me there's a zombie apocalypse right now, I would probably for a couple seconds believe them before I have to go and, you know, disprove the zombie apocalypse and then find that's just a dude on bath salts eating a pigeon. So, but yeah, no, everyone's moving away. And if they're not moving out of the country like the ultra rich, they're moving to the Midwest. And it's strange because you're finding a whole bunch of, you know, Facebook employees moving to Ohio and Kansas and Missouri and the Ozarks. And it's like, bro, I did not expect to find you here. And it's because of that. It's because of the economic instability we've seen. And even though Trump is doing a very good job with the economy right now, you know, I'll admit the day after the election, I bought a whole bunch of gold and silver. And I don't know where it is, which is a bad thing to say. But I mean, you know, things like that, I think people feel something coming. But even then, it just shows this. When you're not in a position where you're the people controlling things, it does feel really, really hard to be a victim. And I hope that we would develop some sympathy for each other. Instead, we're just kind of hunkering down, which for some reasons is bad. But ultimately, I find nothing wrong with it. You do your thing. I do my thing. We could all be copacetic and be, you know, happy, filthy hippies together.
Yeah, no. I agree with that. Yeah. You know, and as long as you have, you have goods and stuff and services you can barter with, you can always make a trade. And zombie apocalypse aside, I do think automation's coming. You know, I work at DARPA at my day job, and every day I keep expecting to be replaced with some type of artificial intelligence.
What was the number of potential truckers that can be removed if Google goes ahead and makes like a smart car version of a semi? It was like you can lose up to about 500,000 American truckers alone.
Oh, easily. Yeah, I would say I'm surprised if it's not close to 90 to 100%. It's funny, as my nephew wanted to get a CDL and become an over the road trucker, and I was like, that job's going away. That is, you know, I'm telling you, you know. Man, as you're starting out in your life right now, in 5 years, those jobs will not be here. And he's, no, it's impossible. And a lot of, you know, it's funny, is every trucker I talk to, they say the same thing. And I was like, they say, oh, the computer just won't handle all the variables. All that. And I was like, computers fly themselves. Drones engage in air-to-air combat. The idea that they can't handle all the variables on the road faster than a human, I think we're just delusional.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to happen one day. And, I mean, I saw a Charlie Rose interview. By the time this episode comes out, you can all find it on YouTube. I think it's – just Google, you know, 60 Minutes, Charlie Rose, artificial intelligence. And he talks to this one machine, and it looks like a person except the brain is exposed, and it's ultra creepy. And Charlie Rose is like, what's your primary function? And this thing is like, immortality. I want to, you know, perfect all the flaws of humanity, and ultimately I want to merge you with me, and we're going to be immortal beings. And then find out our meaning of the universe. And I'm watching this. I'm like, holy crap. This is like Terminator 2 Judgment Day, except it's happening right now. And that thing doesn't look like a death machine. It looks like a freaking Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. And I'm freaking out. And, you know, now it's like, you know, I've been telling people for a while, why do you want to go get a college degree? I got my bachelor's in science and political science, Jason. And looking back right now, I probably should have just enlisted immediately instead of going the advanced officers route. Ultimately, I'm happy I did, you know, a 2-year cram course to become an officer out in Alabama. But I mean, I can't, you know, I'm taking a lot of time right now, apart from just working on the Remser Republic full time and helping, you know, make everything happen and keep people happy and the sponsors satisfied. But I'm trying to learn, okay, how will I fix parts of my car? How will I just manage, you know, just very simple things? And those are a lot of things millennials just can't do. I remember years back, there was a video of a baby. It was given an iPad and it was given a book. And as soon as the iPad went away and the baby is with the book, it's getting frustrated because it can't, you know, it has to physically turn the pages and he can't turn up the light or something. And I'm watching this. I'm like, oh my gosh, we are screwed. And now I feel even helpless because it's like, okay, can I go start a fire? I probably know how, but it's been years. Can I keep up on those skills? I mean, it is a terrifying time to a degree.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's funny as I argue with my kids all the time because they're, you know, they're in their, you know, my oldest is 20 and my youngest is 18. And they're like, no, we're the smartest generation of all time. I said, no. And I don't mean – I'm not bagging on millennials. I am not because, I've served with many of them and, you know, they all raise their hand and they're willing to make the sacrifice. Not all millennials. Some of them are snowflakes, social justice warriors. But
yeah.
I said, you have access to the most amount of information of any generation. You don't have skills to feed yourself. And they get really frustrated. And I said, look, here's a, you know, here's an eighth grade test from the 1800s trying to answer the questions. And, you know, they can't. They can't tell you how, you know, how water pumps actually work, how many acres are, you know, will yield this much stuff. And it's interesting because, you know, in the 1800s, they're teaching them advanced algebra through farming.
To get into Harvard alone, you had to be able to write out the Old Testament, and I think it was Aramaic, Hebrew, and Latin.
So think about that. We have kids that can't speak English. They're, you know, they're making millions of dollars saying "cash me outside." So that's, you know, yeah. we're missing the boat on education. And I think, I know you and I've talked about this before, but I think if we take some of these old skills, we incorporate it into our modern education system, the next generation won't be a completely disposable throwaway generation. And what's funny is, I will say, the millennials and the group behind them are probably the most ecologically conscious generation, but they don't know what that means. So
I think I get kind of what you're saying, because I'm not one of these, you know, hardcore progressive environmentalists that think that we're doing everything to kill the earth. But, you know, I am extremely cognizant of what it takes to sustain an ecosystem. Yeah. You know, I don't think that we're causing a giant greenhouse, you know, spot in the middle of the ozone, but I do understand the impacts of direct pollution. I even, you know, I was talking to somebody and we were talking about, you know, why farmers in Africa are having problems. And it's not because they're not getting enough water. It's because the government is telling them, oh, you can't rotate your crops in order to keep your soil rich. And then you wonder why you can't grow wheat.
Dude, the government should be completely out of, well, everything, because I'm a libertarian. I believe that. But
legit.
But yeah, agricultural especially. Like, so if you go back and you read history books, you will see what the Chinese famine was brought on by the government directing farmers what to do. At one point, the actual, I don't know what their farm association was called, but they actually directed these crops to be grown together because they'll work in communism to be more healthy. And then people starved.
So I mean, that's the ultimate diet, starvation.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's, oh my God, the Bernie bros I talked to, because they're talking about Venezuelans losing about 18 pounds a year. And I said, maybe that's what Bernie meant. Maybe he meant that we should be more like Venezuela because we have an obesity problem. So, so if we starve everybody in America, then we'll be better healthy. So, yeah, they did not appreciate my humor, but that's okay.
They'll die off first in the zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's what's coming up on the show. I'm excited about it. I appreciate the opportunity, man. Is there anything else you think the listeners would like to know?
Jason, how can they follow you on social media?
Oh, that's the question, right? So, the Facebook page is Live Free or Grow. My Twitter is Carrier for Gov, because I can't figure out how to change it back.
We've got the new one. It's just at Live Free Grow. So you can follow the Carrier for Gov one, or if you want stuff specifically for the show, it's just Jason Carrier or at Live Free Grow, because you'll see the icon there. But no, man, this is going to be awesome. And, you know, I think this really helps promote the Team Republic message of making freedom fun again. Because, you know, I can harp on politics and everything all day, but ultimately I'm addressing the problem. And what I love about your show, and I'm so excited to hear what you have coming, you know, out for our listeners, it's you're giving them the solution for things. And I think that's what people really want. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of people want to be told what to do to an extent, even some libertarians. But, you know, I'm so excited for what you have coming on, Jason. I'm cool. So absolutely stoked.
Yeah, like I said, I like the plan we got. I think people will enjoy it. And I said, and if I can reach more people and have them join the Liberty Movement, I think even better. My goal is to convert a couple of hippies. So
at least one.
Exactly.
Maybe two. Let's push it a little bit. What do you say? Let's go ahead and say two hippies.
Exactly. If I get two hippies who like to smoke dope and eat their own food, and they're willing to jump off and say, you know what, I'm done. The Democrat Party has been lying to me, or the Republican Party has been lying to me. Let's make this happen, and I'll be happy.
Boom. There you go.
All right, brother. Thanks for your time.
Not a problem, Jason. Thank you so much, and definitely best of luck.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it, folks. That wraps up our interview with Remzo Martinez of the Remzo Republic. I actually owe Remzo a lot. When I was running for governor, he was my first interview. He was very kind. He was very patient, as some of the questions he was throwing at me I was not quite ready for. And he actually encouraged me to start this podcast after hearing, you know, my story about the farm, computers, the whole nine yards. So, Remzo, thanks. I like what you're doing, making freedom fun again. Till next time, I'm Jason Carrier. Live free and grow.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting RemzoRepublic.com.